This year we did Christmas in John. John helps us with the setting of the Christmas event. The Christmas event, John does in one verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John helps us with the setting by telling us about the Word who became flesh. So he helps us know what the setting is, but he tells us who the Word was. And he talks about the flesh that the Word took on, that human nature, whose form he took, tells us about that. And then John tells us some about what happens when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And as far as what happens because of Christmas, we talked about two things. First, that whoever receives the one who became flesh and dwells among us, whoever receives him, to them God gives the power to become his child. Gives the authority for them to become children of God. We talked about that. And second, the thing that John perhaps emphasizes, the Christmas event, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, gives us something to see. That when that happened, that event happened, we had something that we could behold. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So because Christmas happened, we can see something. We can behold the glory of the only begotten Son. We can behold one who is full of grace and truth. We can see one who explains God, who exegetes God, one who reveals God, whom no man has ever seen. Now perhaps when John focuses on that as the main outcome of the Christmas event, that we can see something, see the glory of the only begotten of the Son, you might be tempted to ask, so what difference does that make? That you can see that. What good does seeing something make? Why does that matter? So you can see the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Big deal. What difference does it make? So I want us to consider the difference that it makes, being able to see the glory of the only begotten Son. But also, it's the end of the year, in the beginning of a new year. Such transitions can cause us to both reflect on the past and look forward to the future. Such transitions cause us to wonder, but how does one become the kind of person one ought to be or one wants to be? How do you become the kind of person that you want to be? How does one live a good and a godly life? As you review in your own mind, 2017, how many of you feel like you did everything perfectly? That would be your first mistake if you raised it, by the way. Or another mistake, actually. So all of us wonder, how do I become the kind of person pleasing to the Lord? And how do I live a life, good and godly life? Sometimes we make New Year's resolutions. Things that we resolve to do, or things that we resolve to no longer do. That's kind of an attempt to become the kind of person that we think we ought to be, or to live the life that we think we ought to do. I should exercise more, so I resolve to exercise more so I can be the healthy kind of person I want to be, etc. So for a couple of weeks, as we end this year and begin the next one, I want to talk about change. This week, I want to talk about changes you make. Next week, I want to talk about you being changed. Next week, I hope you can be here next week. Next, thoughts about change specifically to John and to that thing about we can behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten. But I don't want what I'll say next week to either discount or discredit what we talk about today. So today is about changes that we can make, that we should make, to become the kind of people that we want to be, to live the kind of life that we ought to live. And I want to begin by getting us to think about, to wonder about something, something that's interesting, something that's important, something that I think is even a little bit mysterious. When you think about the happenings in the course of your life, when you think about how your life goes or how your life is going, when should you think in terms of one reaps what he sows? When should you understand your life as reaping what you yourself have sown? Scripture says that that is something that applies to every person, that every person reaps what they sow. So for sure it applies to me, for sure it applies to you. When, as you think about your life and how's it going, when should you think in terms of one reaps what he sows? Here's one verse from Scripture that reminds us out of Galatians 6. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. It applies to every single person. God makes sure that whatever a person sows, that is also what that person reaps. All of us get consequences. We get things that result. We get results in our lives that happen because of things that we have said or actions that we have taken. We get consequences. Consequences are often a large part of justice. Justice involves people getting their just desserts, getting what they deserve. Justice involves getting what's properly coming to you, getting the proper harvest for the seeds that you have sown. Justice is about that. And a lot of life is simply reaping the harvest, reaping the consequences of seeds that you have sown. You decided to go to school or you didn't. And you reap the consequences of either having done the school or having foregone the school. You decided to get a degree in this area and not in that area. Maybe you decided, like me, to get a degree in Greek language and you realize that's totally worthless as far as making any money. And you're thinking, wow, I guess I'm reaping the consequences. I could have chose different and got a different degree. You decided to wait rather than go ahead right now on something. Or you decided to go ahead rather than to wait. Many, many areas, of course. And all of us, we reap consequences. We reap kind of a harvest of what it is that we have sown. And of course, at any time, we may like the harvest that we get, or we may not like the harvest that we get. Often, of course, people want to deny the sowing when they reap the harvest that they don't like. They want to say, I never sowed those seeds. But in fact, they did. But now that they get the harvest, you don't like it. We have sayings, of course, that remind us that we all reap what we sow. When you made your bed, now you have to sleep in it. You have no one to blame but yourself. It's a reminder, you reap what you sow. You have no one to blame but yourself. You're free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences of your choice. So we got all kinds of sayings that just remind us that there are consequences that come, that every man reaps what he sows. So when should you think in terms, as you think about your life, that life, in life, a person reaps what he sows? Yeah, thinking in terms of reaping and of consequences, of reaping and harvest, is not always the way that one should think. You shouldn't always just think in those terms. When you consider the happenings of your life, course of your life, when should you think in terms of God sending you some things, sending stuff your way to teach you, or to train you, or to discipline you, to form and fashion you? When should you think in those terms? When should you think in these kinds of terms? Here's some different kinds of verses. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And of course, he goes on to talk about the value of endurance. That's James, Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. It's coming from the Lord's hand to test you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. And then from Hebrews, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. When should you think in terms of not of reaping what you have sown, but in terms of the Lord sending something your way to form and fashion and train and teach you? When is the explanation for what happens not simply reaping what you yourself have sown, but God sending stuff your way to test you, to make trial of you, to discipline you, to train you. You are not the source. God is the source. He sends various trials. He sends a fiery ordeal. He's the source of those things in order to teach and train and form us. So when should you think in terms of those things? Of course, with the sovereign God, those two explanations, reaping what you have sown, and God sending stuff your way to train and form and fashion you, those two explanations don't have to be mutually exclusive. God can leverage seed that you yourself have sown to test you, to refine you, to discipline you. Any good parent does that with their kid. Their kid gets themselves in trouble on their own, and then they have to reap the consequences of their action. But a parent will leverage that to teach some important lessons about something, or try at least. So the Lord obviously can do that. Yet those two explanations, they have considerable difference between them, don't they? One of them, you're the source. You sow the seed. And the other, God is the source. God's sending stuff your way. Find a person. Let me give one example. Find a person who doesn't have as many friends as he or she desires. Find a person who doesn't have as many friends or close friends as he or she desires. Is the explanation for that that God has appointed that person a lonely, an isolated road? Maybe just for a season, but right now, should you tell that person, you don't have a lot of friends because God's appointed a road for you that's kind of a lonely road, an isolated road. There won't be a lot of other people around. There won't be a lot of friends. He's teaching you that he is enough. He's sending you to suffer for his sake and to suffer for the sake of his people. And this is part of the cost. When is that the explanation? Or when should you say, you know what, you do things and you say things that hinder and destroy friendships. So you not having friends, you're simply reaping what you sow. So which one is the right explanation for that person who doesn't have as many friends as he or she desires? Of course, you probably have already realized that you get very difficult situations when a person thinks it's one explanation and perhaps it's the other. A person thinks it's happening in their life because the Lord is appointing it. And actually, they're simply reaping what they themselves have sown. Or the person thinks it's all my fault. And actually, it's the Lord who's sending it. So you get very difficult situations when a person thinks it's one explanation and perhaps actually it's the other. When Job gets a fiery ordeal sent his way, the friends think he is simply reaping some seed that he himself has sown that he hasn't told anybody about or admitted to. And Job says, I've sown no such seed to reap this kind of harvest. Part of what the whole book of Job is about. We can be mistaken about our own situation. I can be mistaken about my situation. You can be mistaken about your situation. I can think it to be God sending something my way, and it's only my own seeds bearing a harvest. It's the chickens coming home to roost. So it's my own fault. So I can think it to be God, but it's really just my own seeds that I have sown. Or perhaps I can think it to be my seeds when the actual explanation is it's just God's working. God's sending something my way. Discipline me or making trial of me or testing me. That's the real explanation. And I'm thinking it must be an explanation found in me. So we can be mistaken about our own situation, about what's happening to yourself. And of course, you can be mistaken about the situation of others. You can think they are reaping what they have sown, but actually God's appointing them a certain road. Or you're thinking they did something stupid to get such a harvest, or something great to get such a harvest, but actually God's just appointing them a certain road. Or you could think God is sending something their way, but actually they're just reaping a harvest of their own seed. So we can be mistaken about the situation of others. Both kinds of happenings provide opportunity for us to change. Misunderstanding our happenings, though, can and often does become an excuse for not making changes. Saying it's God, when really it's a harvest of your own seeds, often prevents a person from changing and learning to sow differently, doesn't it? The person who doesn't have any friends because of things that they do, it's a harvest of their own seeds. If they keep attributing it to God, they'll never do the changes that they need to sow different kinds of seeds. So blaming God becomes a way to make an excuse for not learning to sow different seeds to get a different harvest. Saying it's a harvest from your own seeds when really it's the Lord sending something your way, you can waste time feeling bad about yourself. You can blame yourself when you shouldn't blame yourself. Oh, I've caused a fiery ordeal. Woe is me, somebody shoot me. I must be bad somehow. And so you waste time like thinking, how did I cause this? And you didn't cause it. The Lord just sent you a fiery ordeal to try you. Don't act so surprised. Don't worry about trying to figure out what you did wrong. That's not the issue. Not the harvest from some seed you have sown. It's a different issue. So misunderstanding our happenings can cause us to refuse and not make changes that we should. So I want to encourage us all. Ask the Lord to give you light, to give you wisdom, so that you don't blame Him when you should blame yourself. Lord, don't let me blame you when I'm to blame. Lord, help me know when I'm simply reaping what I myself have sown. Paul tells us not to be deceived. It can be very challenging. It can be very difficult to simply say, it's me, isn't it? Oh, how come everywhere I go, in every circumstance I'm in, and all the people, we always end up with this? And you start to go, oh, Roger, what's the common factor there? And then finally I say, oh, it's me, isn't it? I sow seeds that generate this type of harvest all over the place. That can be very difficult to acknowledge, to receive. It often involves repentance, of course. But ask the Lord to give you light and wisdom so you don't blame Him when you should blame yourself. Because you're just reaping what you sow. But also ask the Lord to give you light and to give you wisdom so you don't blame yourself when you should blame God. Don't blame yourself for the various trials, or for the fiery ordeal, or for the strong discipline, because God is the source of those things. So don't figure, what seeds have I sown to yield such a harvest? Blame God instead. He's the source of it. God has an agenda for you, and He works according to His purpose. So He sends stuff to you and says, so it's according to my agenda to teach and form and fashion you as my child. So He disciplines and He tests and He makes trials. He appoints, He places, He sends us. I mean, if you're God's child, you will have a lot of things in your life that's God's fault. If you're His child, lots of things in your life kind of like will be His fault. He's involved with you. So ask the Lord for light and for wisdom to know, when should you explain the happenings in the course of your life as reaping what you yourself have sown? Blame yourself. No one to blame but you yourself. The Lord's just making sure you reap what you sow. And when should you say, that's not the explanation. I'm God's child. He's forming and fashioning me. He has an agenda for me. He's working things according to His purpose so that I can share His holiness or be useful in His hand. So I want to encourage us to the obvious conclusions. What sowing should you do in 2018? Perhaps you need to keep sowing seed that you've done before. But it's good to do that type of sowing. You've got to keep doing it if you want to keep getting the harvest. So you need to continue. You need to persevere. You need to not grow weary. Keep putting that seed in the ground. It's good seed. If you want to keep getting the harvest, keep doing it. That could apply to a friendship, could apply to a marriage, could apply to parenting, could apply to a ministry. Most of us know, well, if I neglect Jan for 10 months, I'm not getting the harvest that I used to get. What's going on here? She says, sow some seeds, dude. You used to sow seeds. Like that harvest, sow some seeds. So where should you be? Perhaps keep sowing things that you've done before, so it's not new, but it just needs to be done again. Be diligent, persevere. Perhaps there's some areas, those, where you should stop sowing what you tend to sow, because you don't want to get that harvest again. So if you don't want that harvest again, don't sow the same seed. Don't draw the same conclusion as you've drawn in the past that I should do this, because it's bad seed and it yields a harvest that you don't want. So maybe there's some things you'll say, I can quit sowing that. I'm not going to respond the way that I responded in the past. I thought I was always helpful to people when they were so critical of them. And I can't understand why they don't want to be around me. Roger, well, maybe you should sow a different seed. How about encouraging, rather than critical? Or supportive, rather than tear them down? You want a different harvest, stop sowing that seed, sow something else. So maybe I need to repent, quit doing that. And of course, maybe you want to sow some seed that you've never sown before. Maybe you want to invest in a relationship in a way that you've never done before. Well, I never knew that needed to be done to get that kind of harvest. I saw it in others and I was envious of it or desired it, but I never knew what seed to put in the ground. So maybe you got to explore some new field and put some new seed in the ground. Maybe you have to share your faith in places where you've never shared it before. I never talked to anybody at work about the Lord. Maybe it's time to sow some seed there. You might like to harvest. So just where should you sow? Put seed in the ground, knowing that the Lord makes sure that everybody reaps according to what they have sown. Where should you do that in the coming year? But also, where do you just need to learn the lesson? Get trained by the disciplined. Is there any place where you've been trying for a long time to make the Lord fall in line? You've been trying to train the Lord. And what really needs to happen is for you to fall in line with His agenda and His plan. Maybe for years you've been trying to convince the Lord that you should be rich and successful. Lord, I've been trying to get you on board about I need to be rich and successful. The Lord doesn't change, by the way, so it's hard to train Him. And what needs to happen is for you to be convinced by the Lord that the Lord says, you know what, I don't have riches and success by the world standards for you. You don't need riches and success by the world standards to walk the path that I've appointed for you. Learn that lesson. The testing of your faith, let the trial that He sends teach you that. The Lord is very persistent. If you still haven't learned the lessons of second grade in 2017, guess what grade you'll do in 2018? If you don't learn it in 2018, guess what grade you'll do in 2019? So maybe you have to say, I just need to learn a lesson. And I don't have to make the Lord fall in line with my agenda. I have to realize I need to fall in line with His. I listen to some people pray. It's like they're trying to discipline the Lord, trying to get the Lord to fall in line with all the things that He's supposed to be doing. Lord, heal. Sometimes that almost sounds like what the dog owner says to the dog. Lord, get in line. And the Lord is very good at resisting that, by the way. And where is it good to turn it around and say, you know what, I need to accept what it is that the Lord has appointed for me, where He's sending me. So I want to encourage you to accept the sacrifices, accept the costs, accept the responsibilities, accept the limitations that come with whatever God's appointed for you, wherever He's sending you. If He places you as a teacher in an inner city school, that's going to affect the amount of your paycheck. That's okay. If that's where the Lord sends you, it's going to affect the amount of your paycheck. You got to learn to live within that, to accept those responsibilities, those costs, that sacrifice. If He calls you to be a pastor, it's going to affect most of your weekends. I have to learn to be content with that. Okay, Lord, if that's what You've called me to, you know, that it affects the weekends, that's okay. If you find yourself given certain gifts, accept the things necessary to employ that gift. If the Lord gives you a prophetic gift, sometimes you have to talk. That's how prophetic gifts are employed. You have to talk. So if He gives you that gift, well, Lord, I don't like to talk. But you have to talk to use the gift. If He gives you a gift of hospitality, you have to have some people over. Like, well, I don't like to have people over. Well, you can't employ the gift if you don't have people over. So learn to accept that range of limitations and sacrifice and costs and responsibilities that come for you to employ gifts that the Lord has given you. I think each one of us has a unique set of things that you have to do to fulfill the purposes and the plans that the Lord has for you. There's just a peculiar set of costs and sacrifices, our responsibilities for you to go where He sends you. So to be changed in 2018 will involve each of us making changes. Making changes as far as what seed we sow. Seed that will yield harvest in due time. So where do you need to make changes and sow different seed? And to be changed in 2018 means to receive and to learn from what God Himself sends your way. When He sends fiery ordeals and various trials and discipline, He sends that your way to be trained by it, to accept it, to receive it, to walk in it, to let it form you and fashion you. You have to do those things, you have to make those changes to be a changed person. It's not always easy. I don't have a magic formula for knowing when should you blame yourself and when you should blame God. I encourage you to be attentive. If you think it's God and everybody else you know thinks it's you, could be you, okay? On the other side, if you're just beating yourself up and blaming yourself, you have to realize you're God's child and He has an agenda for you. And He does lots of things to fulfill His purposes and plans for you, to get you through school till you share His holiness. So He'll send lots of things your way. Learn to receive that and accept it and learn the lessons. Be trained by the discipline. Be shaped by it. When to do that. So those are changes that we have to make. Next week we'll talk about things that change us and connect it up to that scene, the glory of the only begotten Son. But we're just going to close the service singing the song, Change My Heart, O Lord. This week, as we sing the song, let it be a prayer to the Lord that the Lord would help you, make you wise about what you should sow. As you say, Lord, change my heart. Make me smart about what I should sow. And before you've sown wild oats, Lord, teach me not to sow wild oats, but other kind of oats. So, Lord, change my heart. Make me wise about what I should put in the ground, you know, to get the harvest that's pleasing to You. And also change my heart, O Lord, to make me receptive to what it is You appoint. I'm going to just fall in line with those things that You've determined, that You've appointed for me. If I've been trying to discipline you to get you to fall in line with what I want, I want to turn that around and just fall in line, accept the tasks, the responsibilities, the costs, the sacrifices that go with walking the path that You appoint for me. Change my heart to fit that. So use it as a prayer for both of those things. What seeds should you sow? And what lessons and appointments from the Lord should you just accept and receive? Let's pray together. Father, as we stand here, Father, with a few more hours left in 2017 and on the threshold of a coming year, Father, we would be people in the coming year, Father, who walk according to your purpose, Father, who fulfill your will, who please you, Father, knowing that each one of us will reap what we sow. Father, we ask you to make us wise about the seeds we put in the ground. Father, where we've put seeds in the ground that have yielded a harvest that we don't like, Father, give us the wisdom and the place just to repent, to turn around, to sow different things. And Father, make us wise to recognize, Father, your teaching and training, your discipline. Father, we would have the trials that you send and the fiery ordeal not surprise us, but form and fashion us, Father, into the people you want us to be and to walk the path that you appoint for us. So we would receive those things and fall in line with them, Father, and run in them, Father, in the coming year. Father, we thank you for being with us through this past year. We thank you for your mercy and for your help. Father, we would show ourselves to be your children, to be useful for your service in the coming year. We ask you to change our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.